To be able to worship together, as Mark reminded us, not to take these times for granted because they are a blessing. And it's wonderful that we have a quiet hour and a quiet place to be able to come together and worship God. Thank you, Ben, for leading us in those songs of worship and praise to God this morning. Well, I'm sure you have enjoyed watching your children or other children as they get excited about a big trip that's coming up. It's fun. Nikki and I enjoy watching our kids pack and plan what they're going to take on a trip. And you may be like that yourself. You may get excited about a trip and the planning for it, and you may get the suitcase out days in advance and start putting things in there as you plan out your big trip. If you would, turn your Bibles over to the Old Testament, to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites are about to take a big trip. And you can imagine the excitement that's going through the camp as the Israelites are about to go into the Promised Land. And they've been hearing about this Promised Land all of their life. And they've been anticipating going to the Promised Land. And you can imagine the excitement that must be building as they're ready to go now. They've never been there before. They don't know the way, and there's a real danger that they could get lost on this journey. But notice the instructions that's given to them in Joshua chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Joshua chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Can you imagine the anticipation and the excitement in the camp as they've heard this news? They've journeyed to the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. Finally, we're getting to the Promised Land. What a wonderful feeling that must have been. But again, they've not been there before. How are they going to do this? Well, they're told, you're going to see the priest coming by with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. You remember they carried that Ark between the two rods that would slide into the Ark, so they wouldn't touch the Ark. They'd put that Ark on these two rods, and they'd lift it up on their shoulders and carry it. He says, when you see them with the Ark on their shoulders, you know it's time to go, and you follow them. But don't get too close. He says, don't get too close. You can imagine if there's a mob of people and you around this, these priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, you're not going to be able to see. He says, you give a distance between yourselves and the Ark of the Covenant so you'll know which way you ought to go. Because notice what he says, you've not passed this way before. They're going into uncharted territory, uncharted land, and they needed some direction. They needed to know where they were supposed to go. And so they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. I tell you, there's a lot of parallels for us in this story. We're headed to the Promised Land, but we're going ways that we've not been before. We've not journeyed through life before. How are we going to know where we need to go and how to get there? We need direction in our lives. We have a serious need of direction. And we need to make sure that the direction that we're getting is the right direction. Have you ever gotten directions before that just were bad? We don't ask for directions very much now that we've got our GPS in our pockets at all times. But do you remember the days when you used to have to stop and ask for directions? How many times did you go in the gas station and ask the attendant, how do I get there? And maybe you came out to your wife and said, well, I didn't help much. I'm not sure I know exactly where I'm going. I remember a man that in the church where I was in college, he was notorious for bad directions. And you'd ask him, say, now how do I get there? Well, you go down that road where that tree fell over that time. Well, I've not been down that road. I don't know where that tree is. Well, you go down there where that tree fell over. And then you're going to go down there and you're going to see that fence. You know that fence? No, I've never been down there before. His directions didn't help at all. We've got to have direction to get where we're going. And it needs to be good, valid direction. In the passage that David read for us in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, a passage that we need to know by heart and be reminded. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You know, the devil liked to tempt me, and he'd like to tempt you. And they're thinking, you know what? It's not that hard. You don't need a lot of direction. In fact, you can figure it out for yourself. No, you can't. And no, I can't. We need help to be pleasing to God and to get where we need to go. And so this morning, let's look at where we can find this direction. The children of Israel told, follow the Ark of the Covenant. That'll get you where you need to be. How can I get where I need to be? First off, I can obtain a direction from the Bible. God hasn't left me without direction in my life. He's given us clear direction. In Psalm 119, verses 103 beginning, the 119th Psalm, beginning of verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is an incredible blessing to us. As we cannot make up our way by ourselves, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. God's word is that wonderful blessing to us that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Do you need a lamp to your feet? I would dare say that many of us can navigate our homes at night without any light on. Maybe you got to get up in the middle of the night, got to go to the kitchen. You could probably get there without a light on. But if you're in a strange house or maybe in a hotel room, can you navigate that in the dark? No, you need light, don't you? And we're in strange territory. We need light, and God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But I'm afraid many times it's obvious that our attitude doesn't reflect this. If we realize what a wonderful blessing we had here, you think we'd have to be encouraged to study it? Do you think we'd have to be encouraged to read this if we realize what a wonderful blessing it is? God has told us what we need to do, how to get from here to where we want to be. It's right here. We need to value it and wonder and say what the psalmist says, how sweet, 16 and 17, in God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us everything that we need here in the Bible so that we can make it to where we want to be. We need to get our direction from the Bible. Well, within that, though, I want to tell you there's some other things that we can get direction from, and that is from those in the Old Testament. Those in the Old Testament. We can learn from the example of the people in the Old Testament. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul was talking about things that were written aforetime. Well, in Paul's day and age, the things that were written aforetime weren't the New Testament. We could say that about the New Testament today. But in Paul's day and age, the things that were written aforetime were things written in the Old Testament. Paul says those things are for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We learn things by looking at people in the Old Testament. And we need to make sure that we're diligent in looking to the Old Testament. I know many of you are thinking about a Bible reading program for the coming year. And there's a lot of pages in the Old Testament you might think are tedious and wearisome to read about. But I want to tell you, as you go to the Old Testament and you read that in your daily Bible reading, we need to be encouraged that we're reading things that are important and valuable to us. How many lessons can we learn from looking at the characters of the Old Testament? The wonderful, incredible values we can learn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read about some of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice how Paul points us to the Old Testament. And if we'd never studied and considered the examples of the Old Testament, these instructions from Paul would fall on deaf ears. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all our fathers were under this cloud and all passed through the sea. Well, I hadn't read the Old Testament. No, that doesn't make sense. But we have read the Old Testament. And so now we can learn. Look at verse 2. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyers. As we look at the Old Testament, and we look at the characters, we can learn some don'ts, some things that we shouldn't be doing by looking at them. These examples of the children of Israel, as they committed idolatry, as they murmured and complained about their food, and remember the serpents that went out and destroyed them. We learn things by looking at the Old Testament, things that I don't want to be doing. I don't want to repeat those examples. I don't want to do that. I want to get from here to there, and I realize there are people who have made mistakes. The Israelites are some of them. I don't want to repeat those mistakes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 goes on, says, now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're for our admonition, our instruction, our direction. So important that we learn these lessons. So I learned a lot of things that I shouldn't be doing by looking at the Old Testament and the characters in it, but I also learned some things that I should be doing. In James chapter 5, verse 10. In James chapter 5, verse 10, notice what it says. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. Oh, I learned a lot of things from the Old Testament about how I should live, don't I? For one of those being the story of Job. I can look at Job and realize that things might get really bad. My life might fall apart, but God will be faithful. I might have terrible affliction and terrible troubles in my life, but I know that I need to just be faithful to God, and in the end it'll all work out. Look at Job. It worked that way for him. It'll work that way for me. I can also learn that I need to speak the truth. I need to stand up for what's right. The prophets suffered because they wanted to do what's right. And they're an example to me that I can do the same. I can endure whatever I have to endure because I know all those people in the Old Testament who did the same. I can get direction on how I need to live my life by looking at those people in the Old Testament. And Hebrews chapter 12 tells me that as well. Hebrews chapter 12, if you do the math, comes right after Hebrews chapter 11. And a long list of people who did amazing things for God. Is that just so I can read it out of curiosity? No, look what chapter 12 verse 1 says. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. By studying my Old Testament, by studying the example of faithful men and women in the Old Testament, I can be encouraged and I can have direction in my life. I've not passed this way before. I need help. I can obtain that help and that direction by looking at people in the Old Testament. I'll tell you, I can also get the direction that I need by looking to Christ. Christ is the perfect example and the ultimate example that shows me how to get from here to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning verse 1 again, "Wherefore, we seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And now look at verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." How do I get from here to there? Well, I look to Jesus. I follow him. I look to him as I run the race, because he's already run the race. And he showed me how I can live. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, notice what Jesus says about how we're to live our life. "If any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and try and figure it out for himself." No. "If any will come unto me, after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We need to be following Christ. And isn't that what we claim when we claim to be a Christian? Aren't we saying we follow Christ when we say we're a Christian? We're a disciple of Christ. A disciple of someone is someone who mirrors his life after someone else. We're mirroring our life after Christ. We're following him. Do we understand that that's our commitment as Christians? You know, when kids are growing up, they have lots of wild ambitions about what they want to be when they grow up. How many boys have said, "I want to be a fireman"? Not when I grow up. How many boys actually grow up to be firemen? Not nearly as many. Why? Because as a child grows up and he realizes that being a fireman's dangerous, you're going to have to go into burning homes. Those homes might fall in on you, might burn to death. And you're going to have to work 24-hour shifts. A lot of boys say, "I don't know about that." Not willing to make the commitment. When we say we're going to be Christians, that means we're going to follow Christ. We're going to take up our cross daily and follow him. We need to be looking to him for our direction. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted alike as we are, yet without sin." Christ is our example. Because he was tempted in every point like we were, or we are, without sin. You know, after Christ came to this world and lived a perfect life, it took away the excuse that many have that they just can't do it. Can you live like you should? You can, because Jesus did. Jesus lived without sin. He's been tempted as we are, and he did it without sin. We need to follow his steps. As we look for direction, we can follow him, and we can get where we want to be. We've not passed this way before. We need to follow Christ. I'll tell you something else. We also need to be looking to those in the New Testament who followed Christ, who lived as they should in our lives, as a point of places where we can get direction in our lives. You know, we like to follow people who are successful, don't we? Maybe we're looking for guidance in business, and so we'll find someone who's successful in business, and we'll study, how did they do that? How did they succeed in business? And maybe they've written books. We'll read those books. Or maybe we have an opportunity to interview them and ask them questions. We want to do that. We want to find out, what did it take to be successful in business? Maybe your thing is sports, and maybe you're interested in, how did he become so good at that sport? What did he do? I want to do that. I want to be successful in sports. Or maybe it's in relationships. You want to know how to have successful relationships, and you want to avoid some of the problems in relationships. You might talk to someone who has been successful in relationships. And how did you do it? Maybe someone who's been married for 50, 60, or 70 years. How did you have a strong marriage? I'll tell you, the same is true in being a Christian. We ought to look to those in the New Testament who were successful and look and see how they did it. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul repeatedly says, "Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul says we need to be following him. Follow his examples. How did Paul do it? What did Paul do? How did he live his life? That's what I need to be doing, because Paul was successful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice this. They were following Paul, and they needed to be, people needed to be following them as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning verse 6. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we do not need to speak anything." They were following the example of Paul and following his pattern. And as a result, they became an example to others. And their example was being spread out all over the place. People were following them. And as we look for direction in our life, we could do the same. Follow the example of people in the New Testament who are pleasing to God, so that we can be what we need to be as well. And then finally, this morning, I want to tell you, we can also get direction in our lives by following the example of faithful brethren today. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Philippians 3, verse 17, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." We need to be following Paul's example. And when we find other people who are doing the same, we can gain encouragement and direction from them. I think we need to stop and think about that, especially as we talked in our lesson this morning about being an encouragement to each other in our Bible class. We can be an encouragement to each other by living the way that we should. How many times have you been encouraged by looking at your brethren around you? How many times have you taken instruction by looking at how people around you dealt with situations like they were supposed to, according to God's Word? We can gain encouragement and direction by looking at those around us. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Timothy was supposed to be an example to the people around him. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I being that kind of example in my life? Do I want people looking at me and following the example that I set? You know, the fact of the matter is that other people are looking at me, aren't they? Other people are looking at me, and they're patterning their life after the things they see me do. My children are looking at me. Your children might be looking at me. Others are looking at me. And the same is true of you. Others are looking at you. Are you setting the example that will help them get to heaven? Or if they follow you, will they be leading in a different direction? Paul told Timothy to be an example. He told Titus the same in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Does that exemplify your life? Does that describe the way that you're living? What an incredible thought and sobering thought it is to think that other people are getting direction from me, and they're getting direction from you. We need to make sure that we're living the way that we should. We've not passed this way before. We've not been through this life before. And we only get one shot at this life. We want to make sure that we're living our life the way that we should. We need direction. It's not within ourselves to direct our own steps. How are we going to get from here to heaven? We're going to do so by looking at the Bible. The Bible is God's map of how to get from here to heaven. We need to be valuing it for what it is. You know, having a map doesn't do you any good if it's in your pocket or in your backpack or in your glove box. You know, there's a lot of times when I get pretty confident about my directional skills and I'll tear off someplace, think, I know how to get there. And I get down the road a little bit, I realize, wait a minute, maybe I don't. And there have been times where I've opened up the GPS and I don't know where that is. Let me just look at it, where is it? And then, you know, I don't want that lady talking to me the whole time, telling me every turn to take, I'll turn it off. I got it from here. And just a little ways down the road, I'm lost. The Bible doesn't do me any good unless I'm studying it. I can't get overconfident in my directional abilities here either. So I've got to be in the Word constantly so I have the direction that I need. And from the Word, I'm going to see those people in the Old Testament. They're going to give me valuable lessons on how to be pleasing to God. I'll learn about Christ, my leader. I'm His disciple. I follow Him. I'll follow Him in this life. And I'll look to people in the New Testament who did the same. Look how they dealt with the challenges they faced. How they lived like they should in the face of persecution, in the face of challenges. And I'll look to my brethren who are doing the same. He's dealing with the same things I'm dealing with right now. He's following Christ in those, and I need to follow that as well. We haven't been this way before. We need help. We have that help. God has not left us without direction in our life, and we ought to be thankful for that. The question for us all to consider this morning is, are we following those directions in our lives? Are we submitting to them? You know, the directions many times aren't hard to understand. It's the submission part that's a challenge. Are we submitting to those directions? Are we following them in our lives? If you're not, there's no better time than right now to get on the right track, to start following the directions that you need. If there's any way we can help, let us know while we stand and sing.